This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. President Biden in Peru for the APEC summit, trying to reassure allies, including Japan and South Korea, that security and trade will remain a priority for the U.S. The president also met with Peru's president and discussed international collaboration and battling drug cartels.
We want to thank you for elevating our fight against drug trafficking.
Tomorrow, President Biden meets China's leader and then heads to Brazil for the G20 summit next week. Senate Democrats and some Republicans are pushing for the release of the House Ethics Committee findings into the sexual misconduct investigation of Matt Gaetz as the Senate prepares for confirmation hearings for Gaetz as Attorney General. Gaetz resigned his House seat ahead of the release of the report. In Georgia, opening arguments began today in the bench trial of accused murderer Jose Ibarra, the Venezuelan undocumented migrant, is accused of raping and killing University of Georgia nursing student Lakin Riley in February. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Thursday was Melissa Agard's first day as Dane County Executive. She was sworn in at the Alliant Energy Center on Wednesday. She now leads the fastest-growing county in Wisconsin, and because of that, the county is facing a housing crisis. Agard said affordable housing will be one of her top priorities. When you look at the fastest-growing cities across the state, the top three are in Dane County, Madison, Fitchburg, and Sun Prairie. It's also a major driver of the Wisconsin economy. However, all this growth means needing more resources and more money to keep up services for a bigger population. But like many other municipalities, the funding formula from the state is putting them in a bind. Shared revenue for cities and counties has stayed the same throughout high inflation over the last few years. So even as the county is collecting more taxes from all these new residents, they're not getting enough back to sustain services for the bigger population. Long story short, there are tough problems ahead for Agard as she leads Dane County. She said some of her other top priorities are lowering overdose deaths, increasing mental health resources, and reforming the criminal justice system. Kat Griffith, who lived and worked in Latin America for a number of years, will present Asylum, the Changing Face of Migration, in the community room of the Village of Gays Mills Community Commerce Center. She is currently a Fond du Lac County Board Supervisor and is committed to bipartisanship and respectful dialogue across political differences. The event will be held Sunday. The program will close with a discussion of how to have a better national conversation about immigration. The event is hosted by the Kickapoo Valley Friends Meeting and the Gays Mills Public Library. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Still waiting for Chris. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks head to Charlotte to take on the Hornets tomorrow night. Milwaukee now 4-8. The Hornets are 4-7. Chris Middleton is yet to play after surgery this summer on both of his ankles. Head coach Doc Rivers on whether there's a growing frustration regarding Middleton.
No. I mean, obviously we want Chris to play, but Chris is doing all the work. He's working his butt off. That's all. You know, as a coach, that's all you can ask for. And we were hoping we were going to be healthy, but we're not. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Men's college basketball should be a special night tonight at the Kohl Center as the Badgers honor Hall of Fame coach Bo Ryan and members of the 2014-15 team that went on to the Final Four. Meanwhile, the Badgers have their work cut out for them, hosting Arizona, the number 9th ranked team in the nation.
Now we've got a tremendous test coming at us on Friday. You know, an extremely big team, an experienced team. Caleb Love backed one of the guard positions, put a lot of pressure on the rim. Obviously a really, really good team.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, low in the low 30s. A mix of sun and clouds, breezy and warmer tomorrow, highs in the mid-50s. Some showers around Saturday night, drying out for Sunday, partly sunny and a high in the upper 50s. Rain chances return to start next week, currently 54 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Don from Milwaukee.
I enjoy your show right now at a time like this. You are great therapy for me. I don't know what I'd do without you guys.
We enjoy you as well. That's the importance of civic media and this platform. And Sandy and I take this seriously. We're going to continue to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people like you continue to get your voices heard.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local civic media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll be joined by Tom Moore from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We'll discuss Trump's personnel selection process and recess appointments. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Friday to us all. Got James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus Law Review, which airs right here on the Civic Media Network on Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. Jess P.S. working hard on the board, on the lines. And, of course, you folks joining us as well, 855-752-4842. We had a caller at the end of the last hour, Jim. I believe his name was John. He's going to go see his mom, and he voted for Trump, and his mom voted for Biden, as some family members voted for Biden, and wondering how should he act. He doesn't know how to react when he goes and sees the family at Thanksgiving. And he said one of his reasons, as I asked him what was his motivation for voting for Donald Trump as an independent, yes, as he claimed, he was basically, I don't like people telling me what to do, and I don't like people calling me names, yes, if I don't vote, right, for the person that they want.
Right, right. He said, I don't want to be told I'm this kind of person. Mm-hmm. I think we can fill in the blank there. Yeah, and yeah, again, none of us likes that, right? None, yeah, of us likes to be categorized in that way. So I get that. We understand that completely. And I think your response is a good one, which is, okay, dig deeper into that. Again, not that we're on a helpline here, not that we're doing that this afternoon.
We're totally doing
right,
that.
Right, right.
I'm listening.
The lines are open. Give us a call.
Thanks, Roz. Right.
I'm changing the entire format of the show.
It's over. It's over.
Single-handedly. And I came here to talk about legal stuff, and instead we're doing psychological counseling, which is not too far off, by the way, in case you're thinking about the other. But the point is just this. To your good questions, and frankly, I think this is the recommendation to John is okay, dig deeper into that. And okay, the name calling, yes, that should not be happening. What is the reason why you have this rift? And let's get back to facts again. They ask the question, why did you vote for Joe Biden? Why did you vote for Donald Trump? And if the answer is, as you were pursuing with him, that there's an economic issue. John was talking about retail, I think, yes, $9.99 and, mm-hmm, that sort of thing. Okay, we can have the normal conversation that says, and John agrees with this, economists will tell you, a president in a course of a couple of weeks cannot change the economy. Arguably, it's even years these things are in place, right, before you really see the results of what happens. Yes, oil, that can have a much more reactive aspect to it. But that kind of thing. Okay, do you understand that whether you're Republican or Democrat, you can take a credit? That's what politicians do. But the reality is these things are far beyond the capacity of any president to have an impact upon. And the seeds for them were planted 5, 10, 15 years, right, ago, with employment, with a course of products coming in and out of America, all those kinds of things, our treaties, our relationships, all those things come together. I'm not an economist. Macro and microeconomic people will tell you much more about that. But having that conversation and just agreeing that, you know what, whether it's Joe Biden or Donald Trump, the economy today and the $9.99, whatever the product is, probably not a specific line can be drawn between a president and the price of that. That's a tough thing for people to hear.
It is. And I think he generally agreed. As he mentioned, there's lots of things that go into prices. So, I mean, I think he was open, and we can kind of agree on that. I mean, at the end of the day, we had a global inflation, you know, the whiplash from COVID and the supply lines. And frankly, you know, price gouging. I mean, if there's an opportunity for corporations to pad their pockets and make more money on a product, of course they are going to do it. That's what they're there for.
That's what their shareholders asked them to do,
quarterly bonuses for the executives, right? They got to meet that. If you can do it, there's an opportunity, even if it's a terrible circumstance. Well, it's opportunity is opportunity nonetheless. But the reactionary response from our friend John to just simply vote for that person because you don't want me to. I mean, come on, man. That's kind of childish, isn't it?
That cannot be it. That can't be the basis, right?
That can't be it.
And just going in the opposite direction because somehow you feel offended. We're adults, right? You need to be focused upon, this is my president. This is the president of the United States of America. This, you're not voting for, with due respect to local officials who may come and go and may have lesser impacts upon your life. This is the president of the United States of America. I will say it out loud. I want this president, I want every president to be successful, whatever that means. And by successful, I mean putting the United States of America and people here in positions where we can be healthy, be educated, be well, all those kinds of things. I want that. Do I think that's going to happen under this presidency? No. And that's the reason why I did not vote for him.
Yeah. 855-752-4842. It's a phone line. It's a text line. Texter from WMDX chimes in. If John wants to know why his family shunned him, he voted for a rapist to take away the rights of women in his family and stand on the neck of democracy until it dies, all because the price of pop went up. The pop or soda? Pop or soda? Are you a soda guy or a pop guy?
I'm a soda guy.
Soda? Yeah. Pop. Kind of,
but there again, reasonable people can disagree. There's one of those instances, right?
Yeah, the deepest level of debate here.
Right, and beyond that, we agree on nothing.
Well, can we talk about what really matters?
What's that?
The thing that you drink water out of from a public place?
Yeah, water fountain or bubbler.
The bubbler. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Another one here from Wes Ben. John, you don't feel that way because no one in your family voted against your right and life. You voted against theirs. Mark chimes in. The price for a 12-pack soda, $5.99 at the Pig. Buy four, get it for $4.99 a piece. Supply chain disruptions caused the price jumps. Heard earlier this week that Reagan never is a president. Really, that kind of power got inflation under 4.1%. I mean, inflation has continued to go down, and we're within at least the Fed range right now. But, you know, we're already talking about reducing the increase, but it's already increased. Those prices are now baked into the cake.
And in the interest of having the discussion that John needs to have with his mother and his brother, mother and brother also need to say, you know what? When I go to the grocery store, too, I am concerned. I also look at my bottom line and I say, gosh, a year or so ago, this was two-thirds of what it is now. We can acknowledge all that.
Sure.
And say, you know what? We'd like to have things better. And we can work and advocate for the Fed to cut interest rates and for the Secretary of the Treasury to do the things that he or she can do. There's nothing wrong, as you said at the top of the first hour, Dom, to acknowledge those things that maybe make one side of the political aisle look not quite as good. And then you also say the realities are on the other side, too.
Yeah.
And let's talk about the dynamics that gets us there to higher prices in the grocery store.
Yeah. Again, getting to a place of commonality, acknowledging simple truths, or maybe not so simple, but it is hard if the ideas and discussions go against, you know, your beliefs or what you were raised with, or those. I mean, those are difficult conversations to have, and that's why I think that's why they're so important.
Right.
That's why they're so important. A couple of texters here, also from West Bend, currently not speaking to my family who chose to vote for Trump because their vote for him told me that money is more important to them than my rights, my son's education, most of all, my life and the life of my son and my husband, because without abortion access, none of us would exist today. Mm-hmm. All right, 855-752-4842. Joe from Madison, you are up. Happy Friday, Joe. What do you got for us?
Oh, you guys, great show. And I would encourage people to listen to it from the head, because it is really that conversation from the journalist who was talking about his great irritation when people had voted for Trump because of the impact on his family. And then we get to John, and then we get to people's individual families and Thanksgiving just around the corner. I would encourage you to think about a pre-Thanksgiving show with maybe just menu items such as the, I don't know, the Jell-O salad of peace.
It's another parlor game, Joe, is what you're a second parlor game of the afternoon. Great.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. There may be a way at it, but I think that what is it's fascinating, because it does come down to your whole discussion was about people sitting down to eat. And I'm telling you, I'm in the place of the journalist that you quoted from in the beginning of the first hour. And it's like Dixie Chicks, man. I am not ready to make nice. And I'm not going to be ready to make nice for at least 4 years, you know, until this gets resolved in some way, hopefully for the better than where it's looking. So I think that what's being tapped into is at the supper table is going to get holy war. And man, if there's any place where we ought to be united, it's as a family and moving outward. And the fact that we're not, because of the great divisions in this country, man, look at that close, you guys. Why is that? Well, there's some very concrete reasons why people are refusing to sit down with their families, because they see their life and their liberty and the health of their family, immediate family, being threatened. And it's worth looking at. And so I think you need a Thanksgiving show. That would be what I would say. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it as always. 855-752-4842. And there's no right answer. I mean, I'd like to think, yeah, I mean, everyone just get along. But, you know, the circumstances, dynamic, a lot of people bring other baggage other than this most recent election to the dinner table. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
It's not like, you know, the holidays are great for everybody anyway. So, you know, the human dynamic is always, always at play. And now with this new one, and I don't know, you know, I always, after the election, Jim, I always think of the bright side. You know, my dad always tell me, Bill's character.
Right, there you go. Right.
And there's opportunity, and I think there is opportunity in this. All right, folks, you won. Congratulations. What does success look like?
Right. What is the plan going forward here? And how do you define success, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let's talk about that. And let's establish some benchmarks so that a year from now, when we have this discussion again and we talk about immigration, and if you are one of those people who thinks that economics should respond immediately to a presidency, then we can if that's the standard you're going to apply and put in place, then we can have that conversation. Maybe not 6 weeks from now, but a year from now, let's put all that in place and come back and see how we are doing in these areas. Let's see how we're doing in the area of education. If in fact somehow it is a huge lift, he gets the Congress to decommission the Department of Education. Again, many of these things almost impossible to accomplish, but putting that to one side, that's never been Donald Trump's
strong suit. Not like they're going to give it the old college try.
Exactly.
Jim.
So absolutely. All these things are going to move in that direction. But if in fact that should happen or some way, and the funding, for example, that the Congress approves for, I think you had a caller before, talked about the funding, the support mechanisms that he and his family get. If that goes away, let's talk about the impact now. Upon the implementation of what Donald Trump is doing. And then I can show you some pictures of people who are quite literally affected to the negative by what's happened.
Real, real impact.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's not, I mean, it's not on the, it's just not on the, on the fringes either. It's going to be Trump voters. It's going to be everybody. And that's the thing about Donald Trump. He doesn't care if you're martyred for his success. They don't give a damn. They're in power now. And look at the people he's putting around them. The grift will continue.
So unless it's for those people around him too, right? They may find themselves on the outside of some doors.
They always do. State of Wisconsin, 65.7% labor force participation and a 2.9% unemployment. Those are some records. Those are some numbers to note. Coming back, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers take on Big Ten newcomer Oregon. Our coverage begins at 4:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 107.7 FM, 1450 AM, WRCE.
Usinger's has been making America's finest sausage for over 140 years. Now Usinger's fresh brats are flash frozen and vacuum packed so they stay butcher shop fresh for 6 months in your freezer. And because there's no air in the package, there's no need for chemical preservatives. Usinger's fresh brats are the freshest, most additive-free you will find. Enjoy some this summer with our other Great Link products. Our backpack sausage seals in flavor and leaves out chemicals. Remember, if it's got the elf on the label, you've got quality on your table.
It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut, peas, beets? All three, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Callers, we see you. Be patient. We will get to you. James Santel, former U.S. attorney at the desk with me today. Jess P.S. on the board and on the horn. I know we got lots to talk about, but I want to throw this out there before we get too far ahead of ourselves. My breaking news here from ABC News. Attorney representing two women who were witnesses in the House Ethics Committee investigation into now former Rep. Matt Gaetz. He's calling for the release of the committee's report, telling ABC that one of his clients testified that she witnessed the Florida congressman having sex with a minor. Quote, my client testified to the House Ethics Committee that she witnessed Matt Gaetz having sex with a minor. Florida attorney Joel Lepper told ABC News as the Senate considers former Rep. Gaetz nomination for attorney general. Several questions demand answers. What if multiple credible witnesses provided evidence of behavior that would constitute serious criminal violations, question mark. Democracy demands transparency. Release the Gaetz ethics report.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear. Has to happen. Should happen. Probably won't, as long as Mike Johnson is as he is.
Could it get leaked, though? I mean, were there Dems on? I mean, there were there folks that probably, sure, or even, right, even Republicans that don't like Gaetz.
Right. We know that the reports are the report is electronic, right? It's not the old days where we've got copies of them coming out of the machine. They're there. And again, we have seen Politico do that across the parking lot at the Supreme Court. They somehow got a hold of that early opinion in the Dobbs case. And many people have this report, undeniably. And that could happen in some way, even if more legitimately, we make a request for it. You know, you make a request on behalf of the American people.
Right.
Right. Right. To come forward and say, you know what? This is not just if Matt Gaetz had resigned and left and said, I'm going to be a private citizen now for the rest of my life. Maybe that's one thing. We'd still have an interest. This is a man who is now perched to be the chief federal law enforcement officer for the nation. The Attorney General of the United States of America. Is this relevant? And the Congress has a report, not just on the sex trafficking, but other things going on.
It's
right?
A report. I mean, does it matter if it's a report or versus a conviction, Jim? You know, I mean, these are separate things.
They are.
And people
right?
can say all sorts of things. But, you know, apparently when DOJ was looking into Gaetz and these allegations for a couple of years, some of the witnesses they found, the former buddy of his who went to jail,
right,
and
right.
even, I believe, the trafficked teenager, yes, were not consistent necessarily in their stories. Now, if they got other witnesses, Well, maybe there's something there, but then why not bring that forward? Why not use those witnesses during the initial case?
Right. Big difference between criminal prosecution. We have to think about those things. Okay, how is this witness going to look on the stand?
Yeah,
and can I establish for a jury beyond a reasonable doubt with unanimity that this happened? That's a pretty high standard, appropriately so.
Right,
we want
course.
To do that. We
Absolutely.
Don't want to convict anybody. Different, again, I'd almost make the analogy between criminal prosecution and impeachment, right? Impeachment, also a political process. Here we have maybe not exactly the same kind of thing, but you've got information about someone who is potentially going to occupy one of the highest spots in the land. Is it relevant for the Senate Judiciary Committee to see that report? And again, it doesn't. The report can say things like, we have reason. Here's this witness. She has described, again, Matt Gaetz as a congressman having sex with a minor. There are reasons why that particular account is compelling. There are reasons why it is not. There are reasons why you may not want to believe this person. You can put into that report the same kinds of things that would be argued in a criminal case about credibility.
Right. And let them make up their minds,
right? And the question is, are there seven people who are coming forward and saying that? Is there one? What is the whole kind of corpus, if you will, of that report, what that report says? That's highly relevant, and it's not a trial, but it is significant for the Judiciary Committee and the Senate to have that, and frankly, for America to know that about, I'll say it now for the fourth time on your show, the Chief Federal Law Enforcement Officer for the United States of America.
Has there ever been a U.S. Attorney General who was themselves under investigation by the U.S. Attorney General prior to becoming the U.S. Attorney General, to your knowledge?
Not that I can recall. I have some statistics. We're up to number 86. Merrick Garland is the 86th Attorney General. For what it's worth, I'm sure your listeners would like to know that. The incumbent Attorney General is going to be making $221,400 a year. That's the salary here. Seventh in line to the presidency. And those are significant things to think about. Not the money, not so much the legacy.
Yeah, Matt Gaetz, what? That's too close.
Exactly.
No, thank you.
We started with Edmund Randolph way back in 1789. You know that, Dom, and Jess knows that as well. And we've had 85 people since that time. I'd like to think that with greater and lesser degrees, they all brought to that position a sense of dignity, a sense of integrity.
Bill Barr?
Well, the first Bill Barr. The Bill Barr I remember. The first Bill Barr. The institutional Bill Barr. Right. The commission given the attorney general way back in 1789 was to be selfless, not to look to yourself, to look to others, support the government, support the people, and focus on their safety and security. Is that Matt Gaetz?
No.
That's totally Matt Gaetz. Worried about everybody else. Right. Not a guy at all who is showing, sex pics on the floor of the house, talking about crushing ED meds and, drinking power drinks and go all night, baby. It's a party, man. I cannot wait for this new DOJ. I think I want to be a lawyer, Jim. Come on, man.
Right.
I want to be part of this party, man.
Right. Oh. Again, the message was we are sending to America. We've always thought that, yes, anybody can be president. And now we're sort of confirming that, yes, indeed, that's the case. We'd like to think that not everybody can be the Attorney General of the United States of America, but apparently now that too is a wall that has fallen.
Yeah.
Our founding fathers talked about an Attorney General being meat, M-E-E-T, an odd, arcane sort of a description. It meant just that. I'm caring about other people. I'm caring about people beyond myself. Matt Gaetz is there to engage in retribution, caring about people beyond himself, but to go after other people. This is the guy who's going to embody Donald Trump's promise, his commitment during his campaign, I will be retribution. Matt Gaetz is going to do this in part because he himself has an axe to grind. He is going to be his own retribution, and he's going to take many other people with him. That's not a meat attorney general.
What was the article we talked about earlier this week? Not retribution necessarily, our reckoning. And every part of this is all an extension of Donald Trump, which all you folks voted for. Well done. 855-752-4842. Coming back with your calls. Sit tight, folks. We will get to you. Well done.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The 97th National FFA Convention and Expo, held last month in Indianapolis, featured many activities and events. One of the events featured was a speaking competition. Richland Center FFA alumnus Simone Sirian earned the honor to speak at the national convention.
I have done speaking events in the past. The one that I went to nationals for this year is a little bit different, a little bit more challenging than the other ones. So this one revolves around agricultural topics. So what happens is you go to the competition and you grab three topics. They're all agricultural based. And then from those three topics, you pick one, and then you get 30 minutes to write a 5 to 6 minute speech, depending on what you grab for that topic. And then you have 5 minutes of questioning from the judges. So how that goes is you have your districts, and then you have your sectionals, and then you have state, and then the state winner moves on to nationals.
The competition featured many high school FFA members from around the country. Simone graduated from Richland Center High School in May, but qualified to advance to national competition when she was still a senior. Simone did not advance as far as she hoped she would, but did very well in the national competition by placing in one of the rounds.
Personally, I thought I could have done better, but in the grand scheme of things, I did place in the top half of the competitors. I won silver. So the way it goes is they break the states up into preliminary rounds. And then you compete in your preliminary, and then if you are in the first or second, you move on to the second round, which is considered the semifinals. Unfortunately, I did not move on to semifinals, but I did place third in my preliminary round, which allowed me to acquire that silver medal.
Congratulations to Simone Sirian on a job well done at the FFA National Convention, and best of luck in your college career. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba, who's up for a good old-fashioned boxing match. Jake Paul and Mike Tyson square off this weekend. Paul took to his social media platforms to troll Tyson by wearing diamond-spiked ear covers to get under the former champ's skin. The dig is from when Tyson bit Evander Holyfield's ear years ago. Not allowed in boxing. Paul is the odds-on favorite to win the fight. According to oddsmakers, Paul is the odds-on favorite due to the fact that Tyson hasn't fought in 19 years, has been near death due to illness more than once, and is more than twice Paul's age. Come on, Iron Mike. Sometimes people struggle after they retire. This appears to be the case for actress Cameron Diaz, who is ending her 11-year hiatus from show business. Diaz has been cast opposite Jamie Foxx in the Netflix spy movie called Back in Action, a comedy thriller. The duo previously starred together in the film Annie. Back in Action drops January 17th on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, low in the low 30s. A mix of sun and clouds, breezy and warmer tomorrow, highs in the mid-50s. Some showers around Saturday night, drying out for Sunday, partly sunny and a high in the upper 50s. Rain chances return to start next week. Right now it's 48.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay me.
Let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already is.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will take a look at what happened over the weekend. Don't worry, nothing. Well, yeah, some things are going to happen over the weekend. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
the police department, prosecuting attorneys are MC Ren, Ice Cube, and Easy Mother E. Order, order, order. Ice Cube, take the motherfucking stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help your black ass?
I damn right.
Won't you tell everybody what the you gotta say?
The police coming straight from the underground. A young got it back, cause I'm
broke. And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. We have Jess P.S. on the board laying down the hits. Thank you, Jess. Of course, we got James Santel, former U.S. attorney, at the desk with us as well. And you might be wondering, Dom, why are you going back old school to NWA? Well, I'll tell you why. Matt Gaetz, this mofo, man, he's telling you F the police. Jess, let's hear what he had to say.
I don't care if it takes every second of our time and every ounce of our energy. We either get this government back on our side or we defund and get rid of, abolish the FBI, CDC, ATF, DOJ, every last one of them, if they do not come to heel.
Come to heel.
Yeah.
Come to heel.
F the police, Jim. You with me, brother?
No. No. Can I be clear on that? No. Right?
This is your perhaps future attorney general of the United States, man. He's talking about defunding the police.
The police. Bring them all down. He doesn't even know what government is, of course, because he talks about Department of Justice being separate from the FBI, all this kind of, he doesn't even know anything.
He's just throwing acronyms.
Yeah, letters. ABC and CBS.
Right? But the president does the same thing, or the incoming president does the same thing. And again, you don't necessarily need to be inside the Department of Justice, but maybe somebody who's got some experience in law enforcement. And again, I know you're quickly going to say yes, he has had, because he's been defending against an investigation of himself. That's not the kind of qualification I was talking about. I'm talking about somebody who's maybe been an attorney general for a state of Wisconsin or another state around the country, maybe who's been a district attorney, somebody who's had some sense of how investigations work, some credibility when you sit down with all these people.
He knows all about investigations, yes, man. Right, he's been investigated for 2 years.
Right. He knows how to raise this right,
almost
or maybe
as much
not.
As his
right?
Boss.
Right, right. And that's the concern. You don't have to be, I'm not advocating, you don't have to be deep inside the department. It is perhaps sometimes a good thing to bring people in from the outside. Janet Reno, perfect example. She's the DA in Florida. She comes in, she knows her stuff. She comes into a federal government and, again, by Congress, very much disliked. Why? Because she was doing her job well. Bill Clinton didn't like her. Why? Because she was doing her job well, right? That arm's length relationship that she had with him. We're going to have nothing like that.
Oh, no, there's no arm's length. This is a big bro hug, man.
Right? We're going to pick up the phone routinely and say, what's going on there? Here are the people I need to have prosecuted. He has told us that that's what he wants to do. I'm going to go after my political rivals. And here are the names. Here are the names. And again, the people he's naming right now are the people who are going to be on the opposite end of those phone calls, getting those phone calls from the White House, abrogating just completely the tradition that's been existing for the most part, not completely, for years and years, and now setting us down this course where the president dictates how criminal prosecution in the United States goes forward. Stunning, stunning.
855-752-4842. It is going to be something to behold. All right. We got Ellen from Cedarburg. She's got some love for our pal, James Santel. Hey, Ellen, welcome. What do you got for us?
Thank you. I am a fairly recent listener to 540, and it's really helping with my recovery from the election. And I especially want to thank you. I'm a person who is not legally educated, but I like to really, really understand legal stuff. And Mr. Santel is just fantastic at explaining things, and I want to thank him and thank you.
Ellen, thank you so much. Very kind words. You know, I appreciate that tremendously. The reality is, of course, you don't have to be a lawyer. People think, and you and all the other listeners here on Civic Media, you understand that. It's good to have discussion in ways that again, the language can be simpler. The language can be straightforward. You don't have to be a lawyer to understand all this, nor do you have to speak in legalese to understand all of it. the law is a reflection of common sense, and it should be. Delighted to be in conversation with you and others to kind of convey that sense of what the law should be.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Ellen. Thank you, Jim. You do. You break it down great. You make it easy for a guy like me, man. 855-752-4842. Neil from the MKE. Welcome, Neil. What do you got for us?
Well, first of all, I want to let you know that I think your show is really well produced.
Yes, it is. We got the best producer ever.
Thanks, guys.
The whole situation here takes me back to the 1970s and John Mitchell, yes. The Attorney General then. But John Mitchell is like an angel compared to Matt Gaetz. First of all, he didn't have such a bad haircut that is completely ridiculous. Really what I would hope we could get is somebody like a deep throat. And it would be great to have a Woodward and Bernstein, but the Washington Post is no longer the Washington Post that we had in the 1970s. So we need groups of journalists like yourselves and somebody who can help people to think. But I wonder if that's possible today.
It seems a little more difficult these days. And we still have Woodward. He just held on to it for his book so he can make some money off it. Thanks for the call, Neil.
Right, exactly, yeah. And to Neil's point, again, the whole idea behind journalism is to disclose and reveal things. The concern is, as we sit here on November 15th of 2024, what are the conspiracies, what are the illegal acts that are going to happen? What are the Watergates of the months just ahead? What are the obstruction of justice things that Donald Trump engaged in his first months, first weeks of his presidency in 2017? What is about to happen that journalists and others, including prosecutors, investigators, will be working on and need to be attentive to right now?
Well, and if you believe Donald Trump, that the media, the enemy of the people, the press is the enemy of the people, I have no expectation that he wouldn't. I have every expectation he would go after press people.
Right, right. And those are the easy ones to identify, right? They're in the bylines, right? They happen to be right. Speaking on radio on a regular basis, right? And so we know who they are. Again, the president does have tremendous powers when it comes to even inside the Department of Justice appointing people. The other point I would make about that is you may not be able to be successful in prosecuting people criminally. That requires a grand jury, right? Requires, there's some guardrails in place. You still need judges, right, to oversee some of these things. You need all kinds of investigators to basically compromise. But the point is that sometimes, as we often describe this, an investigation, the investigation itself can be the punishment. I can open up the file. I can tell my now former defense counsel, who's now sitting in the deputy attorney general's office, I can tell him that we need to open up files on the following 20 people and get that underway. Inappropriate? Absolutely. Absolutely. But the investigation can go forward if you get enough people to push in the right direction. Hopefully you get people inside Maine Justice who will say, no, I'm not doing that. But you can get the investigation underway. You get enough people who will push it somewhere. And the investigation requires that people get lawyers, right? And maybe it does have
nickel
an impact.
Nickel and dime you to death.
Absolutely. The investigations themselves can be the punishment, even if our system is still strong enough to keep those investigations from resulting in grand jury indictments.
I'll be pro se, man. I'll be my own attorney. Right, it'll be right, fine. Right. No worries. George Orwell, journalism is printing something that someone does not want printed. Everything else is public relations.
Like a House Ethics Report, for example, that should be printed.
That
right?
should be
New York
printed.
Times, we should print that and have some discussion about that. And maybe there are some things that need to be redacted. I don't know, but probably not. Get that out there in the public domain.
855-752-4842. Keith from Milwaukee. Keith, welcome. What do you got for us?
I'm just wondering if you guys are going to get around talking to the fight tonight.
Yeah.
And rumor has it the winner gets a cabinet position in something.
Oh, my man. Yeah, I beat you to it, Keith.
Yo.
Hey, man.
Taking my
gag.
I know.
So you got to be following Pizzagate. You got to sit there and rattle on about that guy for an hour. Nobody cares about that haircut. Come on. Terrible. This is why this country's going to hell in a handbasket. That and the fact that all these boomers got out there ahead of time and killed polka, the genre of music that was holding this country together.
Man, it's a conspiracy, Keith. It's a conspiracy.
And it's deep. It's deep.
Thank you, Keith. Great to hear from you, man. Great time last night. Appreciate it, as always. 855-752-4842. Another Keith from Middleton. We're all Keithed up today. Hey, Keith, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, I'm actually now in Broadhead there, dude.
All right.
So I need you guys to talk me down. I am, and my wife, we are both seriously now looking at moving out of this country, because I'm not as optimistic as you are, James, about there being guardrails in the DOJ or guardrails in any part of our government any longer. You talk me down.
All right, hang on, kid. Before we talk you down, what country would you consider moving to?
Hell, I'd go to Mexico.
Mexico. All right. I'll take a stab at it first, Keith, and then I'll let Jim go. Number one, you got to do what you got to do for your own sanity and your own family. I mean, that's number one. But I would resist that temptation. And I know I got friends and family doing the same thing. Some family just got back from Montreal. It was a pre-planned trip, but all of a sudden Montreal's looking pretty damn good these days. You know what I mean?
They enjoyed their stay there.
Yes.
Little bit too much.
And I'm a big fan of Toronto, man. You know, I think Toronto's a great, it's a very kind of Midwest city. It's on a great lake. There's lots of places to go. But when, if you leave though, Keith, then who's going to take your spot here? You know, I guess you could still technically vote from overseas or from a different country, but I think it's worth fighting for. And you know, it's not like this was a wave election. I know some of the Republicans would like you to think so. I don't think it was like that. I think our pollster buddy from Marquette University Law School poll, Charles Franklin, said it was wide, but it wasn't deep. I think elections in 2 years. I think this can sway back. And frankly, Keith, we need your voice. We need your effort. We need you to talk to those folks around you.
Your advocacy has got to be out there.
Yeah, man, that's what I'm saying. Go ahead, Jim. What do you think?
Sure. And beyond that, that there are systems. And I hear you loudly and clearly, Keith. Yes, it may well be that for the next 4 years, the agency for which I worked for 30 years, believe it or not, is going to be corrupted, maybe with a small c, and we're going to get lots of bad things in terms of policy, in terms of the allocations of monies, even to communities. All kinds of really bad things can happen if you've got the wrong people in those positions. At the same time, there are, again, good people like you out there who will push back on those kinds of things. And there are other institutions that, again, all this is predicated upon the notion we still have a constitution, which may or may not be the case after 4 years. But right now we do. Right now we do. And there are other institutions out there that can also check what a Matt Gaetz may want to do. And I mentioned some of those already, a grand jury. You can't indict anybody federally in this country absent convincing 26 people, or at least a majority of them, that there's probable cause to believe that crime has existed. I think, Keith, you've got enough faith in Americans to say, you know what, they're not going to roll over and just indict.
But half of these Americans plus a few percent just voted for this chaos, man. Right. Do you really want to put your life in the hands of the Trumpster voters?
You do not. On the other hand, they also take an oath of office, right? You've got that.
Trump took an oath of office.
You've got an awful.
Right?
You've got an awful lot of people out there. I still believe in the government right now. Yeah. And again, to your point about not leaving.
Yeah.
The importance of those civil servants who are there right now, who are scared, absolutely. They're in trepidation right now about what the Department of Justice is going to do, all the other agencies. There are people who are horrified by what may happen here if Project 2025 and what others are saying. You bet. That's a very scary thing. The answer is not to vacate the field. It's to stay there and try to provide as long as you can the defense against all of that and to keep fighting that good fight.
Keith, take a couple of laps, do some up-downs, and get back in the game. That's what I'm telling you to do. Thanks for calling, man. 855-752-4842. Coming back with your calls one last segment.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Everyone on the road is trying to make it to their destination safely. You can help by staying aware of the large trucks and buses around you. They take longer to stop, have large blind spots, and make wide turns that require caution from other drivers. It takes all of us working together to share the road safely. Learn more at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov. Paid for by FMCSA.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
I can see it in your eyes. You're not satisfied at all. You're too hot for someone so cold. Back those tears, he calls you by another name, you let it slide like it's a game. But
and welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Friday to us all. Our last segment of the day, so you have something to say, hit us up right now on the lines, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We see you callers, we see you texters. Patient, want to throw one more topic out there for our dear friend James Santel, host of Amicus, the Law Review on Saturdays here in the Civic Media Radio Network, 9 to 11 a.m. I will be tuning in tomorrow, Jim. Jack Smith,
special counsel, yes. Yeah.
I've seen reports that he intends on resigning.
He's packing his boxes as we speak.
And
right?
I think to myself, why would you quit when if you get fired, you get the unemployment?
Right. Exactly.
Come
right.
On,
very
man.
Practical.
You
to your good
system,
advice
man.
Before, take care of yourself, right? That's what it's all
and
about.
And we've not
right?
learned anything.
Right. There's a larger issue here, too, and that is my advocacy, quite seriously. That Jack Smith, and with due respect to my attorney general, who I also regard with high esteem, shouldn't be doing what they're doing right now, should not be doing what they're doing. And yes, I understand he's packing his boxes. That's not what I'm talking about. He is going to be gone. And yes, he should resign and be gone before January 20th comes around.
Why?
He doesn't want to be fired by Donald Trump.
I don't, yeah. I mean, why?
I think it's that
it's going to hurt him on his next hire.
It will not. It will not. But I guess here's my larger point. Here's the larger point here, which is what Jack Smith should not be doing, which he's doing right now. He's gotten a stay of the workings inside the 11th Circuit on that decision about whether or not he himself has the authority to prosecute Mar-a-Lago. Tanya Chutkan in Washington, D.C. has also now suspended everything there in the election interference case. Why is it that this Department of Justice right now is the one doing that? Wouldn't you much prefer to have opinions coming out of Tanya Chutkan about whether or not this trial, which will not see the light of day, neither one of those cases will go to trial, but let's get an opinion from Tanya Chutkan, have her answer the homework that the Supreme Court gave her about applying its crazy immunity decision to the facts of this case, have her issue that decision sometime in the next 60 days or so that says, indeed, we could go ahead with this trial. That's valuable. to the Department of Justice, to the American people, to the future of the nation, and likewise the 11th Circuit opinion about whether or not you've got a reasonable and a strong basis, which you do, to continue with the special counsel. Those are good things. Why is it that this administration is dismissing those cases? Let Donald Trump, your point about let him fire him.
Yeah,
maybe that's
man.
True. Let
Full
Donald Trump
to the end.
Let Donald Trump be the one who shows his hand and tells the American public that this is how my administration is going to go when it comes to rule of law. I'm going to reach down Pennsylvania Avenue once again, and I'm going to tell my attorney general to get rid of those cases in which I am a defendant. Let him do that. And then we go back to those people who voted for him and say, this is your law and order president. This is your rule of law president. Don't do that for him. Don't give him the capacity then to say in 60, 70 days, see, the Democrats got rid of those cases because they know there was no merit to him. Don't give him that basis.
Exactly. They're right? giving it to him on a platter. And Garland,
exactly. Don't
Garland
do that.
Set the stage for this because he sat on his ass for a year and a half when he could have brought charges based
right
on the same
ellipse.
Evidence. That I mean, come on. One final thought on the actual evidence. I had an interesting discussion with a mega friend of mine recently after the election. He was unaware of the convictions of the Proud Boys for seditious conspiracy. 20
wow.
years.
Wow.
He says, oh, that's not true, he said. Of course, it is true. Go look it up. And I explained to him, look, it's not just the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers, but the Proud Boys were basically bodyguards for Roger Stone. Roger Stone and Donald Trump are tied at the hip. My understanding is through this investigation, they did get data off of Donald Trump's phone.
Yes,
I would like to know if there was phone calls between the convicted seditious conspirator to Roger Stone and the Roger Stone to Trump and back and forth. Were there any direct calls from, you know, those are the kinds of things I want to know.
Right.
Will we ever know those things, Jim?
We may in part. Because the other thing that Jack Smith is doing, and we endorse this completely, in both these cases, he's obliged to put together a report, right? And again, a document that says, this is the result. This is what I would have presented to you in the course of the trial. He did that already, but it was somewhat redacted. Remember this? Tanya Chutkan said, we'll let your memorandum go out there in the public domain. Now we want to see the whole thing. That report should also come out. There's nothing about that report coming out that compels Jack Smith and the attorney general to dismiss these cases at all. Let Donald Trump take the oath of office on January 20th at a time when right down the street, within a view of the west side of the Capitol building, there are two pending criminal cases against him, and let him go down Pennsylvania Avenue and then direct that those cases be dismissed. That's the American history that we should have. It doesn't appear that my attorney general and special counsel are going down that road.
Boo! L.A. Tom, you will have the last word today. I got 60 seconds for you, man. What do you got?
Yeah, Dom, I was just asking you a quick favor if I could. When the right-wing people call in, can you ask them what media sources they listen to, whether it's Fox, right-wing radio?
Well, if they're calling this show, obviously it's this fine production. Yeah, Tom, I will certainly make a point to do that. I think it is a great, great point. You know, we talk about uninformed voters and that kind of thing. Well, maybe misinformed. If people are getting, you know, the source of their news is questionable and they don't question the source of their news, that could be problematic. Tom, thanks for listening. I will certainly endeavor to do so. Thank you, James Santel.
Always a delight.
You got a
friend.
Show coming up tomorrow, man, 9 to 11 a.m. Any topics? What do you want to tease?
We're
going to
talk a little bit about the Supreme Court again. We haven't talked about them recently. We're going to dive deeper into the U.S. Department of Justice. What is it that an attorney general does? What does a deputy attorney general do? What does a solicitor general do? Why are these so important in the future of our nation? We'll talk about the comparison between present nominees and also past incumbents of those offices.
Great.
Lots going on.
Look forward to hearing that. I can quick answer. Those attorney general, the second and third, you know what they're going to do? Whatever Donald Trump tells them to.
There you go.
Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you. James Santel, host, Amicus, a law review. Check that out tomorrow, 9 to 11 a.m. Thank you. Jess P.S., the best damn producer
here in the
world. Thank you. Have a great weekend, folks. We'll see you on Monday.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the one and only Frank Hermans, who is live in the studio, and I will definitely let him be Frank. It's also a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr joins the show with new music and fun convo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Matt Nair on Air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.